Well, this morning is a special day. It may be the last Sunday before Lent, but we're not going to use our normal texts for today. Instead, we've a special text for the sermon related to the ministry of elders and overseers and shepherds of the church. In other words, this text is about the pastors of the church. Our text for today, for the installation of Reverend Solberg, comes from 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 in Jesus' holy name today. I'd ask you to please rise one more time in reverence to the Word of God. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth, Lord. Sanctify us by that truth. God, today as we are celebrating the installation of Pastor Greg, I pray that you would show us again by your word our sin and grant us your grace. Allow us to trust in the finished work of Jesus. And Lord, may Pastor Greg always be focused on that finished work, the finished work of your Son freely given to sinners like us. Lord, thank you for it. Pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's this goofy thing that happens to most of us when we're reading books in the New Testament, after we get out of the Gospels, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, after we go past Acts and get into the section of letters. The goofy thing is that when we get into that section of letters, we always assume that they're written by the Apostle Paul, which he wrote 13, so it's a little over half of the letters, so it's kind of a good guess to guess that Paul wrote something. Even when we get to a book like 1 Peter, we sometimes assume that this must be Paul's letter that he wrote to Peter. But that's not the case. The book of 1 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter. And it was not written to another apostle, but instead to the church at large. Peter writes this letter in the early 60s AD, most likely from the city of Rome, and he sends it out to the elect. He sends it to Christians in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. It's a whole lot of names that basically just mean Turkey. He sent this letter to the Christians who are what we now call Turkey. Peter writes this letter to the churches because these churches were suffering. You see, Nero begun his persecution of Christians in 54 AD, and the persecutions were going to get worse. And Peter predicted this in chapter 4, verse 12, where he tells those Christians in the area of Turkey not to be surprised when the fiery trials come. In the midst of their trials, and in light of the trials that are coming, Peter writes his letter to prepare these Christians. But he also writes his letter to point these Christians to the great hope they have. A hope that is much greater than whatever suffering and whatever trial has come their way, no matter how difficult it is. This morning our sermon text came from the 5th chapter, where Peter is teaching the elders and the shepherds and the overseers of the church, or as we would call them today, the pastors. His words are given to a church suffering and a church about to suffer even more. But his words are words that still ring true for us today, especially today as we appear to be returning to a culture that resembles that of the early church. Peter writes to the elders, and his demands are for the elders, and that means their demands for you, Pastor Greg, and you, Pastor Gary, and for myself. His call is to shepherd the flock that is among us. So Greg, specifically, he calls you to shepherd his sheep here at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church. But what does it mean to serve as a shepherd? Well, Peter's words should remind us of an account that came earlier in his life, an account that actually Wade read for us this morning. You see, just days before the death of Christ, Peter proclaimed boldly that he would lay down his life for Jesus. But after Jesus' betrayal, while he was suffering at the hands of Pontius Pilate, do you remember where that bold and mighty Peter was? Peter was busy hiding. Peter was busy denying that he even knew the Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. Thankfully, our Lord didn't abandon and condemn Peter, as we may have done after a betrayal like that. Instead, after his resurrection, he restored Peter by three times asking him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responded, "Yes," in one way or another, three times. Jesus responded first, "Feed my sheep," then "Tend my sheep," and then "Feed my sheep" again. Twice, Peter is called to feed the sheep. And when Peter calls elders, when he calls you, Pastor Greg, to shepherd the flock, he is calling you to feed God's sheep. He isn't talking about making sure their bellies are filled, but if you want to organize more potlucks, we're okay with that. He's instead talking about making sure that the sheep get the spiritual food that they need, that their spiritual bellies, so to speak, are filled. He's calling you to preach the gospel in truth. He's calling you to teach the full counsel of God's word. He's calling you to speak law and gospel into the lives of the sheep here at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church, and calling you to rightly administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Pastor Greg, this is how you feed the sheep. But you know this. We don't feed the sheep with our own strength. We don't do it with our own cleverness, not with carefully devised programs or selected words. Instead, the sheep are fed by the means God has ordained and given. And Pastor Greg, this is your primary calling here, but not your entire calling. The other part of shepherding is tending the sheep, watching out for them and their spiritual well-being. This means calling them to turn from their sins, which is always a painful process. Calling them to repent and to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is walking with them in the difficult times, mourning with them as they mourn, and also walking with them in the good times, rejoicing with them as they rejoice. Pastor Greg, Peter has called you to this task of shepherding, of tending and feeding the sheep, not because it's something you're forced to do, but something to do willingly as God would have you. He calls you to love them and serve them, to feed them, all in response to God first loving you, serving you, and giving you food through his word and sacraments. Peter also encourages you not to do it for shameful gain. Now, I know shameful gain was the first thing in your mind when you heard this was a part-time call. Instead of shameful gain, you're called to serve God's flock eagerly and joyfully. As you shepherd, you should not be domineering, not forcing the flock, the sheep, into submission, but instead encouraging them to rest in Christ and being an example of it, resting in Christ yourself. Don't forget, we who are called to be shepherds, we are ordained as shepherds of the church, we never stop being sheep. We never stop being a part of the flock. We never stop being sinners. We never stop needing the grace of God over and over and over again each and every day. So lead, Pastor Greg. But lead as a sheep. A sheep who needs to hear again the law about your sin, and a sheep who needs that same spiritual food that you have been called to share. So that when the Good Shepherd returns, he finds you too and gives to you that unfading crown of glory in eternity with him. Well, Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church, I've been looking that way a lot. I'm thinking you were assuming you were off the hook today and this was all about Greg. Is that correct? Not so much. Peter has words for you too. In verse 5, he said, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." And when Peter is talking about those who are younger, he isn't just talking about the 20-somethings and under crowd. He's talking about everyone who isn't in the office of elder. And that's you guys. Now, I'm a fairly young pastor at the age of 32 years old. As I look out, I see a lot of people with a lot more life experience, a lot more wisdom than I have. A lot of people that, frankly, I need to learn a whole lot of things from. Because you've walked this path before me, and you get a lot of things that I don't. And so for you, it might be difficult to submit to the authority of a young whippersnapper like me. But if that's hard, it's going to be even harder for you to submit to Pastor Greg, because even though he graduated from seminary before I did, he's actually younger than I am. Even so, God has called you to submit to him and to do so freely. Peter doesn't give elders the right to act as lords and masters of the congregation, but Peter also doesn't give the congregation the right not to submit, not to follow their leading and guiding, no matter how young they are. So how can you submit to Pastor Greg? Well, when he gets up and he preaches, listen. Receive the words of the gospel from him. Receive the law as it is preached. Show up when he teaches the word of God on Wednesdays and receive his teaching. You can submit by putting the best construction on everything Greg does and everything that he says, not condoning his sin, but always looking at him in the best possible light as a servant of God and his word. And probably the biggest thing you can do to submit yourself to him is to never stop praying for him. Not for any reason. Not even if you're upset with him about something. Keep praying for him, because he needs your prayers. All pastors need your prayers. We covet them. Lastly, Peter calls all of us, both sheep and the sheep who have been tasked with shepherding, to clothe ourselves in humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see, this reminds me of the very last words of Martin Luther. Not the last words that he spoke, but words that he had written down and had in his pocket, and they were found there after his death. The last words he had written said, "This is true. We are all beggars. We are beggars before God with nothing to bring, nothing to offer, nothing but a pile of wretched sin. And that wretched sin can do nothing to earn the favor and grace of God." My friends, we are beggars. And to humble ourselves before God and before each other is not to think less of ourselves than we ought. It's to think of ourselves as we truly are. As beggars. Beggars with nothing to bring. And as beggars, we are no better than our neighbor, no matter what outside appearances show. As beggars, frankly, we should count as nothing at all between the God and creator of this universe. But we do count. We do count before God. We matter in his eyes. We matter because God loves that which he has created. He desires all of his creation not to die and be punished and judged for their sins, but for all of creation to be redeemed. And so he sent his one and only Son to live, suffer, die, and rise again, that we might never have to face the wrath that our sins deserved. My friends, sheep and under-shepherd, we are beggars, everyone. Beggars beloved by God, so loved that God put on flesh, lived, suffered, and died in our place. Reverend Solberg, this is the flock that you have been called to serve as an under-shepherd. Strive to faithfully feed God's sheep through word and sacrament. Strive to faithfully tend his flock by walking with them in the good times and in the bad, speaking law and gospel into their lives. And Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church, here's your shepherd. Respect him. Love him. Hear the holy word of God and receive the sacraments from him, and never for any reason stop praying for him. not because he is somehow better than you. He's a beggar, just like every one of us. But he's the beggar that God has entrusted with his riches so that he can freely give them to you. And from one more beggar, I'd like you to hear the gospel again. That in his great love for you, God sent his son to live, suffer, die, and rise again that you might be forgiven, so that you might be called the children of God and that you might receive eternal life. Everything Jesus accomplished was for you. Trust and rest in his finished work. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time where we could hear again from your holy word. Lord God, allow us to rest in the finished work of Christ. Use Pastor Greg as your servant here at Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church, your servant to deliver your word, to feed the sheep and to tend them, to walk with them in the good times and the bad, to minister to them, and to deliver first and foremost your gospel. We thank you for him, and thank you for sending him here. Use him for your service, we pray. In your holy name, amen. Amen.